Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Your comments make the show better. Send us your thoughts live on our Facebook channel to be the star of today's show. Can't catch us live? Hit us up on our other social media channels to have your say. For now, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good morning, Canada. Canadian sports fans around the world, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back.
Daddy's home.
Episode number 113 of your favorite sports talk show here on Facebook Live. I kind of left my opening segment here blank. I'm Rod Peterson. He's Darren DuPont. So off the top of my head, if he's Ron, I'm Don.
Yeah, that's fitting.
Too soon? Too soon? Listen, we're going to be talking a lot of CFL all week long and a lot of CFL today, but we're going to open the rollout for Flooring Superstore with Don Cherry Talk, obviously, for the next 15 to 20 minutes or so, and we welcome people chiming in on the Facebook wall, Prairie Mobile text line, and all the rest. Prairie Mobile, your authorized SaskTel mobility dealer. It's going to be a fantastic show. As my brother pointed out to me this morning, it's been 10 days since I've been on the air. I feel that he's missed me. So, good morning, Lee. Thanks for tuning in.
Is that the only way you guys keep in touch? Through the Facebook comments?
Yes. On the show today, Marshall Legs Hamilton. He'll have his thoughts, of course, on the CFL semifinal weekend. Upset Sunday, as I'm tabbing it. Also coming up on the program today, CFL veteran Jeff Knox Jr., former NHLer and Maple Leaf Brian Berard. Courageous story of he. And he's got a new story out in new book out written by our good friend Jim Lang, co-authored by our good friend Jim Lang. Brian Berard will be with us. And from Football Canada, Canada West Television, the great Jim Mullen. Number 13s, of course, recognizing number 13s because of episode number 113. The first one that came to mind to me was Anthony Calvillo.
Yep, absolutely.
And for me, you could probably stop there, but... one popped to mind.
Yeah, Matt Sundin. He was my guy growing up.
I'll write it down.
That was my kid. I got an old binder, Matt Sundin.
Timo Solani was 13, was he not?
Yeah, he wore 13 for a while.
Yeah, Winnipeg. So there's some good ones. There's some good ones. And I also want to get into the Hardy Cup, of course. Calgary Dinos taking it over the Saskatchewan Huskies. Congrats, Dinos. Big fans of the show. They've sent us all these gifts. So they got the Mitchell Bowl this weekend, right?
Yes.
And they got Mac coming in there.
Yeah.
And the only reason I know that is... my friend Darren Burns, who I met at Touchdown Atlantic, CFL alum. He's from Moncton. His kid plays on Mac, and he's been on... I've got all these Mac updates all year on my Facebook because his kid plays on the team, which is great.
Yeah.
And you're going back. You were on the broadcast of the Hardy Cup, and now you're going back for the Mitchell Bowl.
Be back in Calgary for the Mitchell Bowl.
That's awesome.
And it was great because we had Marshall Ferguson on the air last week, early in the week when Abu was in here. Abu's a Western alum. Ferguson's a McMaster alum. So they went back and forth, and McMaster took it.
We'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about the ice problems at the Brand Center Friday night, which cost the game. Pat's good friends of mine, the ice workers at the Brand Center, good friends of mine, the Everest Place people, good friends of mine. So I'm not going to go down the road. Embarrassing for all involved, just an ugly incident. Mm-hmm. And you saw the Twitter reaction to that. Never before heard of this happening before. I don't think it has happened before.
Yeah, I don't know.
So hopefully that gets fixed and they moved on, but that's a sports story that hasn't been talked about because this show hasn't been on the air since Friday. Watching the Facebook wall here, holy man, it's going crazy.
Yeah.
Shelly Legault writes in and says, good morning from rainy Texas. Hi, Shelly. How are you? Mister, I think, when I was down in Texas.
Wasn't raining when you were there.
It was the last couple of days, but I still had a good time. Huck'em horns. You saw my tour of the University of Texas?
I did. How cool was that?
Wow. 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 All CFL teams should go to schools like Texas and have a look at their facilities. And you wonder why some of these guys come from those schools to some rinky-dink CFL stadiums and think that they're not in the big time. You would get it.
Yeah, big time.
And we will get to the CFL talk, as I said. But first, the thoughts on Don Cherry. We got to go there because I think that's what a lot of people have tuned in for this morning, plus the CFL talk. But I did not see Hockey Night in Canada Saturday night. I was traveling home from Austin, Texas. But so Sunday morning, I get up, and all of a sudden, boom, Twitter is exploding with what Cherry said the night before. So I click on it, I watch it, and I'm like, he's gone. He'll be gone. And that was over a day before it happened. Reason being, the business has changed. And it's now time in the world that you can't get away with those things. And I ain't going to explain how things have changed. I think people are shocked that I'm not on this huge Don Cherry bandwagon like our friend Joe in New York, who's on this campaign. You know, all these people are up. I stand with Don. You see the hashtags going around. Totally fine. Free choice, free will. We're coming out of Remembrance Day weekend. All these men and women lost their lives in war and fought at war. Those that haven't lost their lives so that you can do these things. Say what you want. You still get to pay for things that you say, unfortunately. That comes along with free speech. But with Don Cherry, my family will attest to this. Growing up, there was no bigger fan of Don Cherry. Read all his books. Easy Christmas gift for my parents. Get Rod Rock'em Sock'em, the latest Rock'em Sock'em video. He'll be happy. Get him pajamas. Get him, you know, I'd go read it, go eat at his restaurants. Like, I love Don Cherry. And at my old station, we would carry Don Cherry's Grape Line. I think it was one of the original stations that did for 30-some years. You know, I just loved Don Cherry. As time went on, tried to get him on my old show. Couldn't get to Don Cherry. I would have really liked to have had him on the air. Just couldn't get to him. I know that with the Pats, we tried to bring him in to speak a couple of times. Couldn't get to Don Cherry. Like, he's very hard to get to. And I kind of just, over time, I mean, he's 85. You know, if he had gone away and retired 20 years ago, well, for sure 10, I probably would have been okay with that. And it kind of finished me last year when he said the Carolina Hurricanes were a bunch of jerks because of their post-game antics after a home win. That upset me because it's like, well, you're in the entertainment business. These are good guys having fun. What the hell's wrong with that? That kind of finished me there. And then just a couple of weeks ago at the Heritage Classic, there was a big sponsors event the night before the game, and got this invitation that said Ron and Don are going to be there. And I'm thinking, okay, finally going to get a chance to meet Don Cherry. Go to the event. Who's there? Ron McLean, Brian Burke, Jim Houston, Kelly Rudy, Elliot Friedman, all these guys. No Don Cherry. And Ron McLean gets up at the front of the room and says, folks, Don's not with us. He went to bed. He's tired. So filling the role of the cranky old guy tonight is Brian Burke. And everybody laughed. And Burke, he just kind of gave one of these. And I just thought, you know what? Don's checked out. He's checked out. This is a sponsors event that you should go to. You're the highest paid broadcaster in Canadian sports and have been for 20 to 25 years. Yep. You got to do these things. But he was above it. And I'm over Don Cherry, is my point. So when this happened, you bring immigrants into things. And somebody said to me this morning, he didn't say immigrants. Stop. The implication is that he did. He lost his job because of it. So to split hairs about what he said, it doesn't matter anymore. And I used to set my VCR for Saturday night to watch Coach's Corner. I would never miss it. That's how big of a fan I was. Hey, my real rant's coming, Clark. Hang on. Just hang on for Bronco Plumbing and Heating. So it's sad that it went this way. Don was given the opportunity many years ago to change. Refused. He's anti-immigrant. Clearly, because he's not going to apologize because of this. And frankly, 10 years ago, I might have been standing with Joe Lozito leading the parade. I'd have been the marshal of the parade to save Don Cherry here. 10 years ago, I wasn't a big fan of immigrants, and I was not pro-refugee. But you know what? Somebody sat me down and said, Rod, this is why we need to do this. This is why this is good for Canada. I thought, okay, I'm on board. Right?
Yeah.
And then I kind of looked at it and said, if it wasn't for immigrants, none of us would be here. I darn sure know I wouldn't have my wife. When the Greeks and Italians moved to this city in the 50s and 60s, what do you think the people thought of them? They looked different. They talked different. They sounded different. It's no different now, 60 years later. So I am not anti-immigrant. So when Don went down that road, that's why I said, it's over. He's gone. So when the notification came across my phone from John Shannon, by the way, on Twitter, it wasn't a surprise.
No.
So how about you?
Yeah, It's tough because it's somebody you grew up watching and you loved watching, and it made you, it's just, he's a part of that product that made us all fall in love with the game. And so when that dies, we see what we grew up, you know, watching in our childhood. A piece of that is dying, but it was going to happen eventually. I mean, like you said, he's 85 years old. He was going to be off the air anyway. And for the people who like Don Cherry, isn't this kind of the way you want him to go out?
It's him.
You kind of want him
went
to go
out his way.
Yeah, going out his way.
I did it my way.
Exactly. Standing up for what he believes in, right? Yep. And the thing for me, the only part that drives me a little bit insane, but it doesn't really drive me insane, but And something, a way I try and operate, we're too focused on the specific words that come out of people's mouths, and we forget the message and what they're actually trying to say. The message Don was trying to deliver was a really good one. He's trying to support the military, support the veterans, support the troops. And I think the issue is that people aren't wearing their poppies. And he feels very passionate about that. And they're not buying poppies. So the Legion, in their biggest fundraiser of the year, is not getting the money. And he sees that dying. And he doesn't see that living on. And that's what he's trying to wake people up to. He did it in the wrong way. He said the wrong things, and he shouldn't have said those things. They're right in letting him go. But that's the part that gets me a little bit, is that we tend to not take into account what the message actually is.
Well, and it sounded to me like they offered him the opportunity to apologize, and he didn't want to apologize. He said, I meant what I said.
Yeah.
Now, here's how things have changed in this business, and that's why I knew that Cherry was going to be gone. The quote that everybody's clinging to in the last 24 hours is, he said, I'm not a robot. Basically, if I can't be me, I don't want to be on the air.
Yeah.
And there was a time that sports teams were run by sports people and broadcast outlets were run by broadcasters. And over the last 10 to 15 years, and some were doing it 20 years ago, that changed. Business people are running sports teams. Business people are running broadcast outlets. And yeah, they're making gobs and gobs and gobs of money, but in my opinion, they're ruining it. And I would suggest that the ticket sales and the merchandise sales that are lagging and the viewership that's down is proof of that. Not every team's like that. I mean, talk about the Saskatchewan Rush. I bring them up all the time. Ironically, our newest sponsor, by the way. But the Saskatchewan Rush are a team that is still run by sports people. And we know them. Bruce and Cindy Urban and their son, Brandon. For them, like, the connection with the fans is still there. They give back to the fans because they're sports people.
Mm-hmm.
Every season ticket holder for the Rush this year gets a jersey, a commemorative jersey. Last year, they had Farmer Appreciation Night at a Rush game. I know, I was there. They wore commemorative jerseys with a John Deere tractor on the show. Like, that is knowing your fans, right? And the people that work for the Rush would walk through fire for the Urban family. I know it because I know those people. They've told me. So not every team is that way. But the connection with the fans and the viewers are gone. And how this relates to Don Cherry, in my opinion, is that this is why he was hired. People couldn't wait to tune in to see what he was going to say next because nobody knew. It's like Paul tells me all the time, crank it up more. And we'll get into that later. There was a guy like Paul Drouin telling Don Cherry 35 years ago, just go on there and let her rip. And everybody loved it. But the people like that aren't running these companies anymore. They're the business people that, you can't offend this guy. You can't offend that person. It's bad for business. Well, that's where Cherry's saying, if I can't be myself, it's not fun anymore. And that's how it's all changed.
Yeah, completely. They get a very delicate situation. I mean, it's this delicate situation that they have to navigate through now. What are they going to do?
Well, the next one, I say it's Brian Burke, and you say that would be a bad decision.
I think it would be a bad decision. I mean, here's the thing that Don Cherry did, and whether the game has passed him by and you know, his analysis of, you know, the game maybe isn't the most accurate and you're not taking that too seriously. But what he did is he really, you know, showcased the game, the players, the personalities, all of those things. And those things are what made Hockey Night in Canada special. You know, the guys getting off the bus. He talks about the players when he goes into the personalities, the stuff happening between the whistles. He goes in, you know, he tells all those stories within the game. And people watch the game. They show up to watch the games. And I know everybody that's in the comments, and I've seen this all over Twitter. I don't even watch the pregame. We show up to watch the games. Forget about that stuff. Well, yeah, but you show up to watch the games because of that stuff. That stuff makes you more aware of the players. It makes you fall in love with the game and the stories around it. And that makes you want to watch the game. If you don't know who's playing or anything about them, you're not really going to care to watch the games. So that's so key. But when they want to replace him now, because Budweiser's a big sponsor, right, of Coach's Corner. They're not going to stop, you know, Sportsnet's not going to not cash their check anymore. But if you try and replace Don Cherry with somebody who's trying to be Don Cherry, they're going to fail because they won't be Don Cherry.
I vote for Berkey. I know Berkey. I like Berkey. I think he's ready to do it. He's in his early to mid-60s, though. Is he going to do it for the next 20 years? I don't know. We can talk about Berkey later and where he is at in his career. I think he would be great. I think he'd like to do it. But that's maybe a theme that we'll have throughout the show. So here's the hook to keep you through the opening commercial break, okay? A, today's poll question, because we're going to spend the rest of the show on the CFL, because that's where our bread is buttered. The Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll question is the Stampeders losing out a good or bad thing for the Grey Cup / CFL? Because I was talking to Calgary football people yesterday. Clearly, they're devastated. They don't know how this happened. And I said, is this going to hurt the Grey Cup? And they said, don't know yet. Too hard to say.
No.
Too early to say. Our poll respondents, what do you think the split is right now? And how would you vote?
Because
I would have thought it'd be 50-50. Is the Stampeders losing out a good thing or a bad thing for the Calgary Grey Cup and the CFL?
I'm going to vote good thing.
Because it's a yes or no thing.
I know. I think it's a good thing. What do I think the people responded? Because it's sometimes different. I think they're going to say it's a good thing too.
97% say it's a great thing that the Stampeders have lost out.
Yeah.
So we'll kick that around. Marshall Hamilton will join us next. We'll talk about the return of Zach Caleros. Were the Winnipeg Blue Bombers lying about the broken foot of Chris Streveler? Because it certainly looks that way. It looked that way when he was rushing for 82 yards.
Didn't look broken.
Are the Eskimos going to the Grey Cup? That's what a lot of people are predicting. And we're being hacked, apparently. We have an incoming transmission from Winnipeg, Clark says. Can that wait till after? Oh, we're doing it now? Okay. Okay, let's roll it right now. Clark says we're dropping it. No sound from the sports doctor. He's never sounded better. We'll be back. This has been the rollout for Flooring Superstore and our good friends Trent and Rhonda Dickin and the whole Dickin clan. I love them like the Dickens. We'll be right back after this. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln. With savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, finance rates are as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Plus, most new vehicle purchases come with a free set of winter tires. And buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Allen Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
All right, welcome back, everybody, on a Tuesday morning. Real quick sports update for Ballers Rec Room. Sebastian Aho scored twice, and the Hurricanes ended their four-game losing streak by hammering the visiting Ottawa Senators 8-2. Joel Edmondson had a goal and two assists as Carolina chased netminder Anders Nilsson in the second period. The Raptors hung around for three quarters in L.A., but went missing when it mattered. Kawhi Leonard had 12 points and 11 rebounds against his former team as the Clippers beat Toronto 98-88 at Staples Center. And another overtime win for the Seahawks. Jason Myers kicked a 42-yard field goal in overtime, and Seattle handed the San Francisco 49ers their first loss of the season, 27-24, on Monday Night Football. And that is your morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. Okay, to Winnipeg we go. Let's get it going right now. Let's get the hype bell going. We got the sports doctor. Apparently we can hear him now. Good morning, David.
I'm glad you can hear me now, because you need to know what I'm going to say, though. You need to know.
What did
I do? I know it was a dark day for you on Sunday. The Winnipeg Jets beat the Dallas Stars. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers beat the Calgary Stampeders. And then the Minnesota Vikings beat the Dallas Cowboys. I know all those teams. You're probably crying somewhere in a soda somewhere. But listen, we got to tell you one thing. You need to remember who won the first CFL preseason game at Mosaic Stadium.
Yeah,
who won the first regular season game? Who won the first playoff game there? Who won the first hockey game there? It's total domination. This isn't going to be anything different next Sunday when the Winnipeg Blue Bombers stroll into town, basically on their way to Calgary for the Grey Cup.
Does it mean anything to you that I picked the Bombers to beat the Calgary Stampeders on Sunday? You're very conveniently forgetting that, David.
Well, that's why you're hiding in the States from your Saskatchewan friends. That's why. Nobody knew that.
Okay, well, listen, I was considering giving you my tickets for the game Sunday, but I'm starting to renege on that idea.
It's going to be good. And to the poll question, is it a good thing that Calgary is not in the Grey Cup? I probably phrased that wrong, but it's a great thing. I agree with Dupes, because your hotel rooms are going to fill up if there's not a Calgary team in there too. There's going to be more of an energy. I think that we haven't really talked about this much, but this, when Calgary played Winnipeg in the hockey game a couple of weeks back, that was a Grey Cup energy in the city of Regina, because two different teams fans came to town and you had the host city's fans and everybody embraced it. And that's what Grey Cup's really all about. You know what's going to happen when the Winnipeg Blue Bomber fans come in there, and probably looks like it's going to be the Hamilton Ticats, one of the greatest rivalries before. It's going to be a repeat of 1984 again, and Winnipeg is going to prevail.
Sports doctor, I'll see you when you get to town. You owe me lunch, and our viewers are writing in saying you need a doctor, a psychiatrist specifically. So can you look into that this week?
Come on. Listen, the guy's got to face the facts.
So long, guy. Have a good week. Sports doctor checking in from Guy Fieri's in Vegas. All right. Hi, Marshall. Missed you.
Yeah, I missed you too. It was nice to be back, but it was nice to be away too.
Yeah, you were gone too. Yeah, you slipped down south as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I went down south for about 12 days.
I didn't
see you.
Played
some tennis and pickleball and hiked up a couple mountains. And
where do you want to? I think we should jump into football, unless you have a real quick comment on Don Cherry.
Well, the quick comment I've got on Don Cherry is, I mean, how did you expect this to end? How did you expect this career to end? There's no other way for it to end than the way it did. I don't like what he said, but there's been lots of things I didn't like that he said over the years. But you still tuned in because you appreciated the fact that he was you know, flamboyant and blunt and controversial. But that's okay. I mean, we live in a society. I mean, I don't want to get too philosophical and political, but we live in a society where people get too offended too easily. Like, it's okay to have a difference of opinion with a friend, with a spouse, with a brother, with a parent. It's okay to have disagreements. It doesn't mean you have to instantly try to hate them and want them to be fired. So I'm not saying he shouldn't have been fired. I'm just saying that it's okay to disagree with each other. It's okay to have different political views. It's okay to have different allegiances to sports franchises without hating each other. Let's love everybody. But let's have difference of opinions and let it be okay.
It's been a good run. Don Cherry himself, 35, 40, 45 years. It's been a good run. But my American friends, not ones that winter down there, the ones that are from America, yeah. I get them watching hockey and they turn on and see Cherry on Saturday night or in the playoffs. And they're like, what the hell is this? You know, wearing a couch, you know, and ranting and raving and
we grew up with that. So it's expected.
Think
now.
If you didn't like though.
If he had a normal suit on and you turned him on, you'd kind of go, what's wrong with Don Cherry?
That was the one headline right. That was the best over the weekend, and it was Fabricland files
out
for bankruptcy after they lose their biggest client. Yeah.
It's certainly not funny or even a laughing matter, but with Cherry, he didn't want to change. Yeah. This was the way it was going to happen.
Well, you knew it was going to happen.
And it's here, and we move on, and I still think by Saturday night, Brian Burke will be in that chair. And we move on. So to upset Sunday in the CFL, I was wrong on Montreal Edmonton. Good for the Esks. Good for Jason Moss. Good for Trevor Harris. Looked great. I was right on Winnipeg. And it sets up the game of the century here this Sunday. What was your take on semifinal weekend, Marshall?
Wow. I mean, I probably shouldn't admit this because I don't have to. I didn't say it on air. But I was wrong on both picks. I really thought that Montreal would beat Edmonton. But wow, what an impressive performance by Harris, you know, throwing like 92% pass completions and 22 in a row. They just look fantastic. Now, I question the strategy of Montreal Alouettes playing zone coverage for basically the whole game. As a former quarterback, if I was playing against zone coverage, I wouldn't complete 22 in a row, but I'd sure complete a lot because I know what pass routes, what plays to call. And then the other one, when was the last time you saw anybody dominate the Calgary Stampeders the way Winnipeg did? That was just super, super impressive. And I know we'll get into predictions for the next game that's coming up, but that Winnipeg team's a really good football team. And I've probably been saying that's I have probably
for a few
I have
years.
Been saying that since day one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying this all along with Edmonton, way back to, the middle of the season, that you only have to get hot at the end. You got to be good enough to get into the playoffs. And I said, you know, Edmonton fans will probably love to hear this because the team was really not in a great spot. There's a lot of turmoil there. But, you know, Jason Moss, to his credit, resting his guys, appears to work, and they've got things going in the right direction. And Trevor Harris, his big thing is consistency, and his biggest thing has been, you know, showing up in the biggest stage. And, you know, like you said, 22 out of 22 to start that football game. That's incredible the way he was able to move that football. The defense played well. So they're on the right track. And I like where Edmonton's at. But when you look at the other game, yeah, Winnipeg, I mean, that's another thing that we've talked about too, was how they would use their quarterbacks. And to me, the way that Paul Appelis drew up that game plan is perfection. I mean, Chris Streveler isn't ready to be a starting quarterback in the CFL, even with how well he played. But Zach Collaros can come in and handle the game. He can make the throws. He can manage the clock. He can play at a comfortable pace. And then Streveler can come in and bring that energy and that shot in the arm and keep defenses off balance. He's a great number two quarterback, and they use that two quarterback system beautifully.
But let me take an extreme position and say I disagree with you in that I don't think he's one of their two starting quarterbacks. I think he's one of their two starting running backs. Mm. He's basically a running back that takes the snap from center.
A wildcat.
That's really what he is. And I'm telling you right now that if I was a defensive coordinator with the Saskatchewan Roughriders coming into this weekend, I would play man-to-man coverage almost every play. And whether I drop linebackers or not, because you can still drop linebackers in man-to-man coverage, it doesn't mean you have to blitz. But I'd be blitzing or manning every gap, expecting not to get to the quarterback, but to stop every gap, to stop the run, whether it's the run of Streveler, whether it's the run Claris is going to run, whether it's the run of him or the runs of Dembski or the runs of Andrew Harris. You cover every gap with it's like a blitz. It's like gap blitzing. And you play man-to-man coverage. And are they going to beat you in man-to-man every once in a while? Yes. But they're not going to beat you man-to-man all the way down the field if you've got, you know, eight guys rushing the quarterback. And you're rushing the quarterback to get to him, but you're also rushing the quarterback to stop the run. That's how I play defensive coordinator.
Well, and everybody's looking to this Sunday's game, and I get it. Mm-hmm. But we obviously have to look back a little bit. And I'm watching the Eastern game, and I'm like, this Edmonton team's good. But if you've watched them all year, there's talent. Why are they not putting it together? Well, on this Sunday, they did. And now they only got to do it two more Sundays, and they'll be champions. But we all knew that they were good. That's why Jason Moss's job's been on the line all year. And again, kudos to him for that decision to rest those guys in Game 18 here, which he just got eviscerated for. Yep. And it worked. It paid off for that week. And now they go into Hamilton. But 95% of our viewers, because we did the most recent analytics, are from Western Canada. So let's just talk about the Western Conference, the meat grinder that is the toughest conference in pro football, NFL included, I believe. Full disclosure here, tough start for Winnipeg and Calgary. I'm thinking this isn't going to be a good day. And I think Calgary was up at halftime by a slim margin, not by a lot. Then I went to a military event, Armistice Ball, as a matter of fact. I couldn't really have my phone up on the table with a bunch of war veterans there who were honoring. So I'm watching the score, seeing Calgary's lead dwindle, evaporate, and all of a sudden Winnipeg go up and up and up. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And good, because I picked Winnipeg to win. So I spent the last couple of days talking to people in Winnipeg, talking to people in Calgary. What happened? And it's kind of the same story in both markets. They're both saying Winnipeg wanted it more. Calgary imploded. They don't have any explanation why. Bo Levi had his worst playoff game as a pro. But it centers on this. Winnipeg wanted it more. And kudos to them, mm-hmm. by the way. Because hunger, as you know, guys, wins this time of year. Winnipeg's a hungry team coming in here.
I mean, here's another observation. And we've talked about this for years, I'm sure you and I, Rod, on different programs at different times, about how every Grey Cup team goes through adversity throughout the season, and that helps to build the character and the strength of the team. Now, what team in the Canadian Football League has gone through more adversity this year than the Winnipeg Blue Bombers?
Nobody. Maybe nobody. Ever.
You know, you look at losing their starting quarterback. You look at losing their starting running back to, you know, steroid suspensions or PED suspensions. Having, you know, he's not controversial, but having a very, very different quarterback become their new quarterback, a quarterback that's running the ball more than he's passing the ball, and you know, people not really convinced, is he a quarterback or is he our quarterback of the future? And then bringing in Zach Caleros, who's had the controversial history of medical history with his injuries, with Saskatchewan being traded to Toronto, being traded from Toronto to Saskatchewan, or sir, Toronto to back to Winnipeg. I mean, you just add all those things up. Mike O'Shea being under hot water, the offensive and defensive coordinators being under scrutiny. That's a team that's gone through a tremendous amount of adversity. And guess what? Right now, they're probably the hottest team going into the Western and Eastern Finals. Although we haven't said the Hamilton Tiger Cat name yet. They're going to play a very, very different defense against the Edmonton Eskimos, and Hamilton's going to win that one. Edmonton is not going to see them sitting back in zone and watching Harris pick them apart. They're going to have a pass rush, and they're going to have man-to-man coverage, and that's going to be a very different outcome in that game.
Just for spits and giggles, were the Bombers lying about Chris Streveler's broken foot? Because if you watch the Eastern semifinal, they show a video of Streveler in warm-up, and he's like, can barely walk around the field in warm-up. I'm like, oh, he's done. And then he goes out and runs. And word is, Chris Streveler has a broken foot.
And
82
ribs,
yards.
And
everything else. Everything. I don't think. Well, he always looks hurt. You see him run. He wobbles. He doesn't run easily. I mean, he gets the job done. But were they fibbing? Were they pulling people's leg? Or did he pull a Wes Cates, who played the 07 Grey Cup on a broken foot, and they won the game? Is he the Bobby Bond of the 2019 CFL playoffs?
You took the words out of my mouth. There's been people over the course of history, going back to Bobby Bond, that have had courageous games being played with a broken bone. And there's a difference between a broken leg and a broken bone in a wrist or a broken bone in a foot, I mean, because there's a lot of bones in things like your foot and in your hand. And if it's not at risk of, I'm not a doctor, but if it's not at risk of being displaced, if it's not, you know, it's not a bone that is causing you to buckle if you put weight on it, then I think you can numb the pain with different painkillers and survive. And you got the adrenaline, which is a painkiller of a different sort, plus the painkiller, plus cold weather. I don't think they're lying about it. I just think that they're doing everything they can to get every one of their injured players on the field. And he's the highest profile one because he's their quarterback
and
or
even if,
running back.
Even if they did lie, who cares? We understand this time of year happens all the time.
But there's not sneaking up on Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan knows that there's going to be two quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a platoon system of some sorts. So you got to prepare for both.
Somebody has written in on the Facebook wall and says, what is the status of Jesus Fajardo this week?
Jesus?
He wrote Jesus. I'm just saying Jesus. Oh. We'll get to that in a minute, but first, we're going out on video chat this morning. We're joined by former Rider, Argo linebacker, Red Black, Tampa Bay Buccaneer, Jeff Knox Jr. joining us today, our good and longtime friend. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Good. Where did we catch you at today? Where are you hanging your hat these days?
Well, right now, I'm in Pittsburgh.
Oh, you're home, huh?
Yes, sir.
All right, Jeff, you hit a tiger the other day in the highway. Let's start right with the goods. What happened?
Let's do it. Basically, I was following another teammate. We was going home. We took off from Ottawa about 4 o'clock in the morning, and we was going to head home, and he's going to stop past Steph Logan. He lives in Florida, and he's going to stay at my house, you know, on Pittsburgh halfway drive, you know, so we was following each other that morning. I had to do a favor for him, make a phone call for him. And as I was crossing, leaving the Canadian border, crossing into New York, I literally looked at my phone for a hot second to make a phone call for my friend. And something flew across my bumper, my front end of my bumper, man, and flew across my hood. And I'm just like, I thought it was a deer, to be honest with you. I thought I hit a deer. I pulled over to the side of the road, my bumper fell off. So and like tied my t-shirt to my bumper. Then I'm about maybe 100 feet down. I had to catch my, you know, I spun out of control a little bit, so I had to catch the wheel. Finally pull over. I'm literally about maybe 80 to 100 yards from where I hit it. So you know what? I was like, you know, let me move it off the side of the road before anybody else run over, hits it, or you know, cause a better accident than what it needs to be. You know. So me being guy am, I walk towards it. I back up a little bit, about 50 feet, then I start walking towards it. And I start noticing that, man, this ain't no deer. I thought it was somebody's family dog. So I'm like, dang, I probably hit somebody's dog. So I was gonna go find the caller and make the phone call and like see if they had a number I could call somebody and say, listen, I hit your dog and can y'all come get him, or you know, of that nature. And as I'm walking, getting a little closer to it, I just noticed if someone was breathing, and I noticed this is not a dog. This is bigger than a dog, you know? So me, I get back in the car because I don't know what it is. So I'm like, I'm not about to sit here and keep walking towards it. So I back my car all the way up on the highway, and I get parallel to it. And that's when I made a video, because I'm like, I'm looking at it at first, and I'm like, that's not what I think it is, you know? So I wait till it stop. I basically waited till it stopped breathing. Then I finally got in my car and made a video to show, like, just some evidence for my insurance purposes. To be honest with you, like, so because I know nobody would believe me if I didn't take a video of it.
I want to tell people, by the way, this is live television. This is not set up. This is all true. He hit a tiger. And sorry to interrupt, Jeff, but I was watching your tweet. I was in Texas last week. I've known you a long time. You're a good guy. Sir. I almost texted you and said, Jeff, take that down. Somebody's going to arrest you for hitting a circus animal and like a conservation officer. You know what I'm saying? I was worried for your safety. So what's happened in the last week since this happened?
Nothing. There's a lot of people just telling me that it's not a tiger. Like, I get a lot of direct messages and tweets that saying that it was a leopard. I got some calls. People said it was a lynx or a bobcat. And like I said, y'all know me. I'm from Pittsburgh. I come from a small neighborhood. And we don't see stuff like that. So when I just said it was a tiger, I didn't really know what it was. But I knew that looked like a tiger to me. Apparently, it's a lynx. It's part of the tiger family. So
it looked like a tiger. It looked like a tiger.
Yeah. That's what I said. Basically, I ain't had no backlash from it. Look, there's a lot of people telling me it was what it ain't and what it is. So, other than that, but I'll tell you something funny, man. I called Geico, my insurance company, and I told them
15 minutes or less. What is it? Say 15% on Geico. Sorry, continue.
Man, listen, I called them. A young lady answered the phone, and I'm trying to, I'm at the, get my car towed. I was from Erie to Pittsburgh. So, I finally talked to my insurance company when I get to the tow company garage, and I can't make it up, but she literally like laughed at me on the phone and thought it was a joke. And she started calling other employees over to listen to me on the phone. And I'm like, I'm very serious. I'm like, I can't make it up. I'm like, hey, I actually hit a tiger on the side of the road, and I got to figure out what my deductibles is and what I need to pay so I can get my bumper fixed. And I literally watched this lady laugh. At the top of her lungs, man. She just thought I was lying. And I actually said, listen, I'm Jeff Knox Jr. I'm a professional football player, playing in Canada. I got a Twitter. If anybody got a cell phone around, you can go on my Twitter and you'll see I posted a video of it stating that's me. And once they seen it, I gave them my date of birthday. It's like, oh, man. But
how many times has it been viewed, Jeff? How many times have people seen this?
Man, it's maybe like 10,000 people already that I know of from retweets and messages.
So here's the thing, and I'll get into the football questions here. I felt bad because you're like, man, this is how my life's going. Man. I just hit a tiger. Like, right? As if it wasn't, things weren't bad enough. I just hit a tiger on the side of the road. And then you went and videoed this dead tiger.
Thank God, man. You didn't go feel for that caller.
Yeah. How are things with you otherwise? Are you coming back to the CFL next year? What is your situation?
Oh, so basically, my situation is I'm very unsure. It's like unsure thing because I came into Ottawa late in the season, so I only got to start a few games, and it's been a very, very, very strange year, man. When I tell you this stuff, I can't make it up. So bear with me, all right?
Yep.
So basically, over the summertime, I was talking to a few teams. I was talking to BC. I was talking to Toronto a little bit. I was talking to Ottawa. About how we come up with a contract situation where I can sign with them, come to camp, right? So, as that was taking place, my old college that I graduated from, Cal University of Pennsylvania. I got invited from some people from my school to come down to a club to celebrate their graduation. So I'm like, all right, I'll come down. I came down to that club, and after I left that club, a guy mistaken identity, he ran behind me and he stabbed me 6 times. And, so it left me the whole summertime. I was in the hospital, so he stabbed me close to my heart and my lung. So I couldn't play ball until I finally got cleared and, at the end of June, going into July. Then that's when I got in touch with Otto, got in touch with me, and asked me about the situation. Could I be able to play? And I said, yeah. So I went up there in mid-season, and that's how that started. But, man, so that's been a strange year. So the game, I get up there in Ottawa, right, after being stabbed 6 times. I get up to Ottawa, finally get up there to play. The game I was going to play against was Winnipeg. I don't know, it was week 7, I think. But I was going to play against them in Winnipeg, ready to set up, start, be a starter, play the game, ball out, you know. And you're a rookie on the team, big defensive lineman. I guess his book bag got stuck on top of the locker, the back top of the locker, people playing pranks, you know. And, I was getting dressed to get on the plane. And as I'm getting dressed to get on the plane, he was hanging on the locker, and he's a big guy. And the wooden part of the locker, it fell, and he fell all the way back, like all the way back, like on his back, holding onto a big piece of plank of a wood of a locker, and it fell on top of my head before we went to the game and gave me a concussion, knocked me out in the locker room, gave me a concussion. So I couldn't travel to, like, that was 20 minutes before a plane took off. So I couldn't play in that game. So I had to wait the concussion protocol, had to wait a couple weeks if I could play, and I finally got a chance to get to play against Montreal. Played against Montreal. I don't understand what happened, what the decision was made, but I talked to a couple coaches after the Montreal game. I played, had a couple special teams tackles, and they released me. They called me and released me. And I understand why, but a few different coaches reached out to me and let me know that it was nothing I did wrong. It was not their decision. One person made the decision, and it's something that they're, and Coach Campbell and Coach Dice, they said they're going to fight to get me back in, so which they did. I came back that next week. So. That's why I say it's been a strange year. It's really been a very, very strange year.
God's testing you. You know that, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then on top of that, I just had my son. So that's a blessing. That's a good thing. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, you keep passing the tests. You always do, Jeff. So yeah. Don't give up, man. Don't give up. I mean, for those that don't know, this guy, you guys remember, was the team MVP for the Riders, defensive MVP, and rookie of the year in 2015. Never before been done. Are you even 30 yet?
No, sir. I just turned 27 last February. So
you got a long ways to go, Jeff. So look, we got to go to a commercial. But I appreciate you telling the story and checking in. Say hi to your mom for me, please.
Oh, man, I'll definitely let her know. Say hello.
Yeah, and just keep in touch, man, and keep going. I know it's been tough, but you're a fighter. You're a winner. You'll come out on the other side.
I always do. Appreciate it, brother.
All right. Jeff Knox Jr. joining us from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania today. Gentlemen, we do have to go to a commercial, but I'm not sure I've ever quite done an interview like that before in my life.
Wow. Wow. Like the things that he's gone through, and then get knocked out by a piece of wood from the broken locker.
I knew that he'd had some struggles. I didn't know that it was that, culminating with hitting a tiger.
God, if he didn't have bad luck, he wouldn't have.
Luck. But he's—you can see—he's a good person, right?
Oh yeah,
he's a fantastic
he's got
person.
A positive attitude, and at 27 years old, that's a good find for some team.
Absolutely. Now look, we're way past the break. But we'll come back and talk more CFL and playoffs when we continue. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcasts wherever you find your podcasts.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets, shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, welcome back to the program, everybody, on this Tuesday morning. Still talking about the Jeff Knox interview, and we will be for a while. Producer Clark saying, plus our viewer Bill, that the Riders should keep Jeff Knox's number on speed dial for when Derek Moncrief signs in the NFL. They can sign Jeff Knox and lickety-split.
Mm-hmm.
He is that good. To the Prairie Mobile text line, Prairie Mobile, your authorized SaskTel Mobility dealer, Bomber fan from Saskatoon named Paul. Writes in, he says, hi guys, I think the Bombers are on a roll and will defeat the Riders on Sunday. Oh, and Rod, if you have some free tickets for me, I'd love you even more. That's from a Bomber fan in Saskatoon. That sounds like a guy with a lot of problems. And I'm giving my tickets to the sports doctor already. The game wasn't even over in Calgary yet, and he was texting me for tickets. So I'm not sure what I'm going to do for the game or not, but I'm giving my tickets to the sports doctor. Don from Ottawa, writes in, he says, Grapes should have retired a couple of years ago. The reason he wasn't at the NHL function in Regina is that one appearance a day exhausts him. And Don probably was tired. He's 85. I get it. But as we've said many times in this program, who didn't see this coming? He's going out on his own terms, and I don't think another network is going to pick him up. Unless he wants to. But I just think he's probably relieved today, I would think.
Time to be done.
And, yeah. And I would argue it's semantics, but he didn't get fired. He resigned. He just knew that at some point I'm going to say something controversial and they're going to let me go. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. To the Bombers and Riders, I guess, this Sunday, there's no point looking back anymore. We should look ahead. I don't know why. This will be a theme with me, gentlemen, for the rest of the week. And that is, why did Zach Caleros never resonate with Rider fans here? Not only did he not resonate with them, it wasn't even just neutral. They downright dislike him. Like Sunday night on Twitter, people were writing me saying he's a coward that he didn't play in the playoffs last year. He's not a team guy. He's selfish. I'm like, I'm sorry, but you don't know anything about Zach Caleros. There's no more fierce competitor than him. There's no better teammate than him. No better leader. And that's not to say that the room didn't gravitate to him. I believe that the room did. The fans didn't.
Yeah.
And that's what I think makes this game Sunday just one of 27 salacious storylines going into the Bombers at the Riders on Sunday in the West Final.
Oh, it's so good. I mean, could you have asked for anything better than this? To have him come back in to Mosaic Stadium for a playoff game when he had the opportunity to play in one, you know, and didn't play in the football game. I think it's great. I think Zach's happy. His interview after the game was really short and really sweet, but he's like, they're going to love this, right? Him coming back in, and then he ran off. It was pretty good. He's excited, and I like seeing that from him. He's got the energy. He wants to play in the game, and I think we couldn't have asked for a better storyline.
Yeah, I think I know the media will try to hype up, you know, so that there's some animosity between Zach and the Rough Riders. I don't buy it. I really don't. I mean, he had an injury on the third play of the season and a legitimate concussion and was out for a legitimate period of time for legitimate reasons. Too many times saying the word legitimate. But, you know, when he got let go or when he got traded to Toronto, I don't think Zach had animosity towards the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. I mean, if I'm Zach Collaros and looking at what Cody Fajardo just did with it once he got the baton, I'm saying, well, yeah, I'd probably trade me too. So I don't think he's got animosity towards the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. I don't think he's got animosity towards the Saskatchewan Rough Rider fans. I'm happy for him that he's playing again. I'm happy that he's found a place that has welcomed him. But, you know, this is more about the Saskatchewan Rough Riders against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, two teams that don't like each other. It's not about animosity with Zach Collaros.
No, but if you don't think Zach's got a major chip on his shoulder coming in, I think you'd be overestimating his attitude. And it's not against the Riders, but we were all telling him to shut it down and retire.
Oh.
Now he's got a chance to win a Grey Cup.
He's got a chip on his shoulder, but he doesn't hate Saskatchewan. He just says, I want to prove to the world that I can still play. Because there's a whole bunch of people out there, including Marshall Hamilton, that said, I think you should retire, Zach. I'm really concerned for your health. And I was, and I still am. But he's got a chip on his shoulder against the world of us that thought he should have retired. But I don't think he's mad against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And yeah, I've been traded before. And yeah, I've played against my former team. And I know that that game means way, way more than all the other games you're going to play in that season. So I know, I get that. But this is a playoff game. I mean, if you need something like that to get you motivated for it, then there's something else wrong. Because everybody's motivated to win this football game. And it's going to be a good game.
Yeah. Right.
What's your take on the storylines? Like, I guaranteed the Bombers aren't thinking about Zach's return to Saskatchewan. The Bombers are not. And Zach, maybe in a corner of his mind, is. I know that's not what the game's about.
Yeah.
But it's still a great story.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
and
right?
Even in his mind, it is. I mean, he said it right after. He knows exactly what's coming and that people in Saskatchewan are going to, you know, love to hate him on the other side now. And he's going to love coming back in there. And everyone's excited about it. And especially because it's, you know, Saskatchewan, Winnipeg. I think this is great. We talk about, you know, the Riders and the Bombers. And we always, you know, treat Labor Day and the Banjo Bowl like it's something special. And you know, it's lost a little bit of that because I've always felt, at least in the last, you know, decade or so, that it's been the Riders in Calgary that has been the greatest rivalry in the CFL. Just because we've had those playoff matchups in the late, you know, part of the early 2000s and, you know, into 2010 and those years. And it wasn't Winnipeg. You have to play meaningful games when it matters to get a rivalry going. And now having playoff meeting in back-to-back years, two teams that are near the top of the CFL, I think this is great for the rivalry. It's great for football. Got guys like the Sports Doctor coming on fired up about the game, and we can get that bad blood going. I love it. It's going to be really, really great for the product.
There's no doubt there's good storylines leading to this game, and there's a story that hasn't been written yet because we haven't seen the game, haven't played the game yet.
Yeah.
The only storyline that I hope doesn't become truth, and that is that Zach Collaros gets hit in Regina and has a concussion. That's the storyline I don't want to read. If he comes in and does really well and Winnipeg goes on to win the game and goes on to win the Grey Cup, great storyline. If he comes and plays really well, Saskatchewan still beats him, they go on to play in the Grey Cup, etc., good storyline. I don't want him to get hurt.
And exactly. That's huge. For me, the biggest thing I'm looking at this week is Paul Lapolis versus Jason Shivers.
Oh, yeah.
Now you've cooked up the two quarterback system. You've seen it work I mean, it can always work a little bit better, sure, but that's pretty much as perfect as it's going to be. Yeah. You know, you need the big play. Zach throws the big touchdown pass down to the left sideline. You need the running play. You got Dembski really throwing things off kilter. And, you know, Harris was, I think he only had 57 yards in the game, but he was effective when he needed to be. And then you had Strevler running the football. So you got this kind of four-headed monster going. How can you draw up something if you're Paul Appelese, which I know he's thinking about that now, that's going to keep Jason Shivers in that defense surprised?
That's a really big part of it, obviously. And that's what, you know, if you get inside the game, the hardcore football fans love is the chess match of the coordinators, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the Joe fan, I don't think, really looks into it that deeply, but it's as big a part of the game as what goes on the field. It really is. But when you look at the teams, you talk about adversity, Marshall. Like, I mean, the Bombers just up and down like a toilet seat all year long, and the Riders just humming along at a high level all year. There's been no, yeah, the Caleros hit three plays in was a major rash of adversity, but that was early on.
Yeah, they've had the opposite of adversity other than the hit of the first game play three. They've had, and I know I'm revisiting some topics we've talked about in past programs, but they've had a year where people say, oh, the Riders had some good fortune there. The Riders had some good fortune there. The Riders had some good fortune there. I mean, they had good fortune playing against Montreal in a game that got called midway through the third quarter. They had good fortune playing against Hamilton the day after Mazzoli gets out for the rest of the season. They had good fortune playing against Winnipeg here, I think it was in the Labor Day Classic, the day after Matt Nichols gets injured. So they're playing against Strevler. So they've had a number of these games where you say, boy, the Riders have had good fortune. On the other hand, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, probably the most adverse season of their recent history.
Craig in Regina writes in and he says, I now feel like all the pressure is on the Riders. Thoughts? Yeah, I would suggest that it is. They're the home team. They've got the better record. They've now got the high-priced quarterback. Yeah, I just Googled real quickly CFL betting odds. And Odds Shark is the first one that comes up. From what I can see, nobody has posted the line yet for this game on Sunday. And I think that it would be Riders favored by 1.5 to 2 points. That's how close I think this game
okay,
would
so
be.
Let's pretend Marshall's Vegas now. Marshall says,
ding, 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 ding.
I'm not going to post a line. And the reason I'm not going to post a line, because this is going to change drastically throughout the week once we know
yeah.
about Cody Fajardo's
health. That's what's
health.
Fun about it.
I know that, but I mean, if we find out that Cody Fajardo can't play or is significantly still hurt and playing, then for me, this is a 70-30 Bomber win. Not 70 points to 30 points. It's the 70% chance that the Bombers will beat the Saskatchewan Roughriders. If Cody Fajardo is perfectly healthy, then I think this is probably more like 55-45 Saskatchewan. This is a really close football game if everybody's healthy. And if Cody Fajardo's not healthy, this isn't a close football game.
We do need to break for hour two. Tyson Craney writes in and says, Roddy, get that arrogant blowhard Ryan Ballantyne back on the show. I'd bet the ranch that he'll decline. He's the Stampeders blogger and podcaster with the long red beard. He's actually a pretty good guy, and he's offered to come on. I don't know if you saw that or if you follow him on Twitter or not, but he's willing to come on. He's swallowed his lumps as a Stamps fan, and that reminds me, I do want to update the poll results before we break for hour one and come back in hour two. But the question is, by the way, is Calgary losing? Is the Stampeders losing out a good or bad thing for the Grey Cup / CFL? Hasn't changed. 97% of you say this is a great thing for the CFL, that the Stamps are out. It would be like the Patriots losing out along the playoff trail. It would be the best thing for the NFL. I should have known the answer before I even posted it.
Yeah.
But anyways, you got 23 more hours to vote on that. Brian Berard joins us next. Also coming up, Jim Mullen from Football Canada. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our best clips on our YouTube channel.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming of the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.